And let's start before Isaac gets back. Okay, so let's discuss the Sugya of Nogea Be'idus today. So the Sugya of Nogea Be'idus comes up pretty agav in our limud in Shavuos Perek Shavuos Eidus. So the Gemara discusses a case of Shtei Kitei Eidim based on the Mishnah Laman Aleph and Beis. The Mishnah tells us that if we have two Kitei Eidim, so we'll call them set A and set B, and both are kofar be'idusam, so they're both chayv in Shavuos Ha'idus. And the Gemara wants to know, why is set A chayv in Shavuos Ha'idus? Because after all, when set A is kofar, there's the possibility of set B giving the Eidus, so set A shouldn't really be considered to have been mafsid mamon. So the Gemara makes a new kimta and says, no. At the time that set A testified, set B was krovin b'nisho sehen, which Rashi explains was a case in which the two witnesses of set B were married to two sisters. So therefore, at the time that set A testifies, really they're the only ones who can do the job. They're the only ones who can get the toveya, the money. And therefore, if they deny their testimony, then they really are being mafsid mamon. Tosfos Halatar comments that it has to be the case that set B was tchilasan v'sofan v'kashas, meaning that at the time of the testimony of set A, so they were krovin b'nisho sehen. But it has to be that at the shas re'iyas ha'idus, meaning whatever halva we're talking about, let's say, for example, so they were not krovin b'nisho sehen, and that at the time that they actually would have the opportunity to testify, they also would not be krovin b'nisho sehen, because we need tchilasan v'sofan b'kashas. Then agav that point, Tosos also brings a question from the Gemara Bava Basra of the Sugya of Listalku Beitre on Daf Mem Gimel. So Tosos wants to know, how are we going to explain the Gemara in Bava Basra, which seems to assume that Siluk would work in order to get rid of a psul of Nogeh Be'idus? After all, we need Tchilasan Besofan Bekashos, and in this case, it should be Tchilasan Bepaslos, because they were Nogeh Be'idus. So Tosos says that no, the psul of tchilasan v'sofan the requirement of tchilasan v'sofan bekashos is not going to apply to a psul machmas nogin be'idos, but rather only shaar psulin or psul kurva. So that comment of Tosos was our springboard to discuss the topic of noge be'idos to some degree. So let's review what the different issues involved in this sugya of noge be'idos were. The way we went pretty quickly in shiur through the topic, so we're not going to go beyond really what we did in shiur, although there's probably a lot more to look into, as Rabbi emphasized many times. So let's start off with the key questions. So, Mike, we have the first conditional. So, I mean, I don't know if do we have any source for Negev Be'edus? So that was one of the questions we asked in shiur, right? And then we have to formulate that if there is a source for Nogeh Be'idus, then what does that source reflect about the din? Yeah? Okay, good. Okay, so the first question is there any source for Nogeh Be'idus? And if so, what is it? What's the mechayev, the conceptual basis for this psul? By the way, when I call it a psul, I know all the brash is probably going to say, oh, it may not be a psul, it's only going to be afka, so it's not really a psul. So I'm just referring to the general concept of the disqualification of the testimony of an Nogeh Be'idus. We'll later be mechalik. Okay. Number three, we're talking about Nogeh Be'idus, but what does it mean to be Nogeh? What's the definition of Negius? And of course, what we always want to know is how far reaching is this psul? To what types of cases does it apply? To what types of testimonies? What types of people? V'chule, v'chule. So let's begin from the onset. What's the source for the psul of Nogeh Be'idus? So Rebbe mentioned that there's no psul there's no source found for this psul anywhere in Torah Shebichsav or in Shas. No direct source for this psul. So if that's the case, so then how are we supposed to know that there even is such a thing of Nogeh Be'idus? So we know from many, many Gemaras, Kiddushin Mem Gimel, Bava Basra, Chavtes Mem Gimel, Mem Hei, Sanhedrin Chav Gimel, there might be others, not sure, but those are all the ones that we discussed in Shir, where the words Nogin Be'idusan Hin are assumed, where the Gemara assumes that there is a psul of Nogeh Be'idus. So then just Hadra Kosha Leduchta, what's the source for the Gemara's assumption that Nogeh Be'idus really is possible? So we're going to do some reconstruction. We'll try to use the evidence that we find to the evidence about the conceptual basis for the psul, try to reconstruct from that evidence what the source for the psul would be. So let's discuss the different options we saw in the sugya for what the mechayiv of the psul of no gabe idus is. The first and most narrow approach is to say that this is really rooted in chashash shekin. We have a concern that because Reuven is nogea be'idus, whatever that means, we'll come to define that at a later point, but he, in general terms, he has some interest in giving the testimony that he's giving. So because that's the case, we're concerned that he's not actually giving accurate testimony, he's not giving truthful testimony, but rather he's lying, he's lying in the form of his testimony in order to serve his interest. And we said that this was implied by the Lashonos of the Tosos Rid. We read those inside yesterday in Bava Basra Membeis Umebeis. Also, from this is very explicit in the first opinion of the Rimi Gash on Mem Heimad Aleph, where the Rimi Gash discusses why Lo Verasha V'lo Yishalim. Why would someone be more concerned about Lo Verasha V'lo Yishalim as opposed to lying, quote unquote, under oath? Right, so why would someone be more concerned about that? So the Rimi Gash's first approach is to explain because people would actually be more willing to lie in order to save their reputation. And according to that approach, the main concern for Nogea Be'idus is Chashash Sheker. And it's also a mashma from the Shach in Lamed Zayin Aleph, and also in other pieces of the Shach in Simen Lamed Zayin, the Simen dedicated to the topic of Negei Be'idus, that the whole psul here is rooted in Chashash Sheker. So aside from Chashash Sheker, we also had two other approaches that we garnered from the Rishonim and the Acharonim. The first of which, yeah. I think it's pretty clear in the Rimi Gash on Mem Hei that there's two different answers. Right? There's Chashash Sheker and there's Baal Davar. And then I think Rebbe's trying to say how could you give two such extremes? And also on Mem Gimel, the Rimi Gash has Lashonos of like that we're not Mekabel his Eidos. So maybe. I don't know. I don't think you have to say any of that. I think like the Rimi Gash is very clear on Mem Hei that there's two options. Either there's a Chashash Sheker or there's a Psul Baal Davar. Okay? So okay. So the second approach here is to take is the Psul Karuv. So whenever Reuven is Nogea Be'iduso, so he's defined as Karuv Le'atzmo. He's a relative unto himself, and therefore he's Pasul Le'idus. So I think. Before we define that a little bit better. So we were medayik this from the lashon of the Yad Ramah in Bava Basra, and also the Levush takes this approach. But we have to take a step back here and try to understand what it means for someone who's nogea be'idus to be considered karuv la'atzma, and thereby fall under this psul karuv. I mean, how does that work? I mean, what's the connection between the fact that he's nogea and then calling him and puzzling him midin karuv? You have to understand that connection. You have to explain it a little bit better. So on the outline, I added like three different explanations as to why a nogea be'idus would be karuv la'atzma. So let's, in order to understand this a little bit better, let's take an additional step back and try to think about in what cases we consider someone a psul karuv in idus. Right, so if we have two brothers, let's say Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Hakohen, right? So Moshe is going to be possible to testify for Aaron. Usually we think of that as a case in which Aaron is a Baal Davar, right? Aaron's one of the Baal Edinim. And therefore Moshe is possible to testify on behalf of Aaron because he's one of the Baal Edinim. In other words, a Karov cannot testify for a relative who is a Baal Din, right? So if that's the case, then if we're applying Psul Karov to Nogea Be'idus, then we're going to have to first say that this person, the Nogea Be'idus, is to some extent a Baal Din in the case. And therefore, he's Psul as a Karov because he's Karov to himself, i.e. he's Karov to a Baal Din. So what makes him a Baal Din in the case? So that you could say in one of two ways. And I think both of these are suggested by the Shach in his explanation of the Levush. Either he's a baal din in the case because he has some interest. It doesn't necessarily have to be lizchusa. It could be lechovasa. It's just he has some interest in the case. He stands to either gain or lose from his testimony. Therefore, to some extent, he's a baal din. And because he's karuv to a baal din, i.e. to himself, therefore he's pasul eidos. That would be under the same rubric of the general understanding of psul karuv. The second explanation of the shach, in the das of the Levush, is to say that no. The only time that someone's going to be considered a baal din in the case is if he stands specifically to gain from the case, not to lose from it. Right? That's where the shach said that, oh, how could you explain that even according to the Levush, nogei be'edus would only be a problem if it was lizchus and not lechova, meaning even the Levush could explain that nogei lechova would be kasher. We'll return to that discussion later in shir. But how could the Levush explain such a phenomenon? So you'd have to say that the psul karov is triggered only when the nogea be'idos is nogea lizchus. Why would that be the case? So I'm suggesting that the nogea is only considered a baal din if he stands to gain from his edus. It's actually a machlokas between the ktsos and the nesivos, whether the status of a baal din requires the gaining of some hana'a in the case or not. If you take a look at the footnotes in the ktsos, so the ktsos thinks that you have to have a hana'a in order to be considered a baal din, whereas the nesivos says that not. And I'm just showing how in these two explanations of the Levush, you might say either one of those. And thereby, this guy is considered, to some extent, a baal din in the case. He's karuv to himself, therefore there's a psul karuv. The third way to explain... Yeah?
Just for that, so to do this thing, does it qualify as hana'a, like the not having to pay? Like, you're the nitzvah, I'm saying. You're baal din, even though you're not, like, necessarily gaining. You're only something bad is going to happen to you, or nothing at all.
So that might depend on how you define the hana, right?
And
whether it's hana'as mamun, or... I mean, that even could be hana'as mamun also, because you're being saved from paying. I assume that would be baal din also. Okay, so those two explanations both fall under the general rubric of how to look at a psul karuv. But maybe what we could say is that psul karuv in nogea be'idos is actually something distinct from a general psul karuv. Whereas general psul karuv is that a relative is not allowed to testify about a litigant who happens to be his relative. When we talk about nogea be'idos, we're saying that you're not allowed to testify in favor of another relative, regardless of whether that relative is a baal din in the case or not. You're just not allowed to testify in favor of a relative. And here, part of the definition of the psul karuv is that it has to dafka be in favor. So, because Reuven stands to gain from his testimony, so he's not allowed to testify in favor of himself, because he's a karuv to himself. Yeah.
The whole reason the pasuk behind karuv is lo yumsu avos albonim, so which is that they shouldn't be the ones to cause the problem for their relative. Wouldn't it make sense that psul karuv would if anything be specifically lechuva?
Well, first of all, that's a general question about psul karuv, right? Not nogei be'idus.
But
what?
There's ribuyim from that pasuk. It says lehem avos albonim lehem malavos. Like the Gemara darshins, like from the ribuyim and the yisurim, like yeah, even applies to lechuva, even lechuva, even both of them, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So that's just to explain a little bit further as to how a nogei be'idos would be considered a karuv li'atzmo. And you can't just say the words, okay, nogei be'idos, karuv li'atzmo, psul karuv. And you have to explain how that makes any sense. Why would a nogei be'idos be considered a psul karuv? Okay. Then the third approach to nogei be'idos is to consider him a baal davar. And this is distinct from a psul karuv, because a psul karuv is generally a psul beguf, meaning we look at the karuv as having a shame aid, but nonetheless, he's pasul aidus. He's an aid pasul. Whereas a baal davar very well could be someone who's not an aid at all. He's totally mufka from the parsha of aidus. And that's what emerges from the parish of the Rimigash in Bava Basa Membez Amidbiz and Memhamad Aleph. The way we read the Rimigash, I'm not gonna be medayik more in the Lashonos of the Rimigash. The way we read the Rimigash in Shir was that the Rimigash is saying that Nogei Be'edos is a chisaron of Baal Davar. meaning that when someone has an interest in the case, so he's considered a Baal Davar in the case. Because he is a Baal Davar, therefore he cannot play the role of an aide. Similar, I heard Mayor Yosef comment to Jakey in Chavrusa. So this is kind of reminiscent of our discussions in the context of Amida v'Yeshiva Bevesni, right? Playing multiple, what role are you playing in Din, right? Are you having, do you have the hat of an aide? Do you have the hat of a Baal Davar? Do you have the hat of a Dayan? So basically what the Rimigash is saying is that if you're a Baal Davar, you can't also be an aide. The Mekaimi Davar Hakosov Midaber from the Gemara in Makos and Vava Medalos. So according to the Rimigash, the Baal Davar is Mufka from the Parsha of Eidos. We wanted to say from the Rambam that the Rambam agrees with the Rimigash that the Chisaron of a Noger Be'Eidos is that he's a Baal Davar. But he didn't want to go. Rabbi said that the Rambam wasn't going as far as the Rimigash to say that he's totally mufka from the parasha of Eidos, but rather Baal Davar is just a different type of psul. Just as you have a psul karov and you have a psul rasha and you have a psul x, y, and z, so too you also have a psul of Baal Davar. The reason why we want to say this in the Rambam was based on two indications. Number one, the Rambam groups together Nogebi Eidos as part of the 10 psulim in Perek Tes Halacha Aleph in Hilchos Eidos. So that's a little bit difficult. Also, quote Mayor Yosef again. But it's a little bit difficult because the Rambam mentions Isha there also. And our whole approach to psul Isha was that she's totally mufka from the Parsha of Eidos. So you could probably say the same thing for Baal Davar. But nonetheless, he still calls it a psul. And number two was that the Rambam didn't want to go as far as the Ravid with regard to the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Yod Amal Aleph. The Ravid says that we only apply the concept of Palgina Dibura whenever we have a Baal Davar, because a Baal Davar doesn't have a shame aid. So therefore, if I testify about myself and also about someone else, my testimony will stand about the person who I'm testifying about, but not about myself. Because the testimony with regard to myself doesn't have a shame edus. So therefore, we can say palgina dibura. It's a very natural palgina dibura. Same applies to one's wife. Fine. But the Rambam didn't want to go that far. He read the Gemara in Sanhedrin in a totally, totally different way. So if the Rambam is very enamored by this concept of Baal Davar, so why wouldn't he read the Gemara the way the Ravid did? So Rav Unzai wanted to suggest that perhaps the Rambam is not viewing Baal Davar the same way that the Rimigash and the Ravid are, but is rather viewing Baal Davar as a psul, akin to psul Rasha and psul Karov, and therefore the whole pshat of the Ravid in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yud wouldn't apply to the Rambam. So if this is the case, that Noger Be'Eidos is a chisaron of the shame Baal Davar, so then we have to ask a further question of what constitutes a Baal Davar. What really is a Baal Davar when it comes to Eidos? So meaning, what testimony would be considered a testimony of a Baal Davar? So the Rimigash is the shita in our sugya that says that testimony from which one stands to gain, or at least testimony from which one has an interest, would be testimony of a Baal Davar. That's why we can call an Ogeh Be'Eidos a Baal Davar. But from many other Yishonim in other places, we find other definitions of a Baal Davar. And they can either be in addition, or that mean they can agree with Rimigash, or not necessarily agree with Rimigash. The Rambam in Toin Vinita on Yud Beis Beis, explaining the Sugyan Bava Basa on Chav Tesam Ad Aleph of Mar Zutra. So he explains that a witness cannot testify about his own actions. Even though he doesn't stand to gain from that testimony, nonetheless, he can't testify about his own actions. So testimony about one's personal actions would also be considered testimony of a Baal Davar. The Ritva in Kiddushin Mem Gimel Amid Beis draws a very sharp line between Baalei Davar and Eidin. He says that in the case in Bava Basa of Istalku Beitrei, so the potential witnesses in that case are Baalei Davar because they're Shutvin in the Sefer Torah. However, in the case of Kiddushin in Malva Tzarech Lefaro Be'edim, so in that case, the Shlichim are Edim. They're not Baalei Davar. So what makes you a Baal Davar? It sounds like from the Ritva that if you're a litigant in the case, if you're a Toveya or a Nitva, then you're a Baal Davar. And therefore, any testimony that stems from that person would be considered a testimony of a Baal Davar. We also mentioned two other opinions as to what constitutes testimony of a Baal Davar. The Ravid, which we mentioned a couple minutes ago, says that in the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Yod Amud Aleph, when the Gemara says that hu ve'acher mitztarfin lehorgo velo lehorga, that's because ishto kegufo dictates that one is considered a bal davar with relation to testimony about his wife. Maybe the chassan will mention this at the chassan tish. I'll have to see.
Okay.
Huh? Wow. Okay. So the Ravid says that with regard with the relationship between husband and wife is considered a relationship of meaning of identity. So therefore, testimony about one's wife would be considered a testimony of a Baal Davar. And the Ran, the Chidushi Ran in Sanhedrin Yonam Aleph, also explains that even though the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that one is not considered Karov Eitzel Mamono, that's only with regard to the actions of Mamono. Meaning, if you're testifying about the actions of some of your possessions. So, for example, the case in the Gemara Sanhedrin is where you're testifying about the actions of your shor. So there, you wouldn't be considered karov lemamona. However, if you're testifying about whether you have ownership of some of your possessions, whether you own X or do not own X, that would be considered the testimony of a Baal Davar. So we have five different definitions of what constitutes a testimony of a Baal Davar, not necessarily mutually exclusive, but five different places to draw a line. Yeah. Correct. I'm just pointing here. The Rimi Gash is saying that Baal Davar is the Chisaron in Nogei Be'idus. Now, between Baal Davar and Nogei Be'idus. Totally. 100%. So, just to clarify, these five definitions of what constitutes testimony of a Baal Davar don't all assume that the soul of Nogei Be'idus is rooted in Baal Davar. That's the Rimi Gash, and that's the way we read the Rambam. But I'm just saying that once we're appealing to the Shein Baal Davar in order to explain the psul of Nogei Be'idus, so then you have to ask yourself what constitutes a Baal Davar. And here I'm giving five different places to draw the line of what's considered a Baal Davar. Yeah.
Can you go over the Ravid one more time?
Yeah, so the Ravid's whole pshat in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yoda Med Aleph, Hu Ve'acher Mitztarfin Lehorgo, the Palgina Dibura Gemara, is that we're only going to apply Palgina Dibura when you are considered a Baal Davar with regard to some of your testimony. So if I testify about Isaac and about myself, my testimony will stand about Isaac, but not about myself. Because we say Palgina Dibura, since the testimony about myself doesn't have a Shem Eidos, the only Eidos that I actually expressed was with regard to Isaac. So we'll see the same thing if I'm testifying about my wife, Bracha, and Isaac. So if that's the case, so the testimony about my wife doesn't have a shame edus, I didn't express any testimony about her, but I did express testimony about Isaac, so that will stand, right? So what the Ravid is just saying is that my relationship to my wife is considered a relationship of Baal Davar. We share an identity. Yeah. Okay. So that's a really, really good question. So Rav Unzweig said in Shir he said outright that it was fine, that he could, the Rambam could agree with the Rimi Gash with regard to Kedusha v'Sof of Bekashos, right? But still hold of a psul. So I was bothered by that also. I'm not exactly sure. I asked Adam yesterday also. Adam didn't know either. Isaac, you have any? Nothing. Okay. I'm not sure. You'd have to say something like that. For some reason, the psul Baal Davar wouldn't be a good candidate for Tchilas V'Sof HaBekashos. Meaning that we're not saying Tchilas V'Sof HaBekashos doesn't apply to all psulim. Right? It doesn't not only.
Okay. It's shar psulim.
Right, you have to say that. I mean, remember we discussed Tchilas V'Sof HaBekashos whether, and you have to explain for some reason why that type of psul wouldn't be included. But I don't have a good answer.
Might be because Shem Baal Davar might be chal mostly at Shas Agada, it's not a Shas Riyah. It's a psul that as a psul it can't start before Shas Agada because you Bali Dvarim only come into existence in the court case.
That's what he says, Taina.
Okay, I like that.
That's how we squared the Tosfos.
Right, that's how Eli read Eli Melech. Eli Melech. Where is Nassim?
Have you read the
Bach Tosfos?
Yeah, maybe you could say something like that. Yeah, but yes, Lion. Maybe we could ask Garby next opportunity. Okay.
I'll write a fake offer on Zephyr.
Good. So these were the three general approaches to what the psul of Nogei Be'idus would be. Chashash Sheker, psul Karov Li'atzma. We explained three different ways of why someone would be considered Karov Li'atzma when he's Nogeya. Or a Baal Davar, and we had the potential machlokas between the Rimigash and the Rambam. So now, let's bring it back to our first question. So once we've had all the evidence as to what the mechayiv of psul Nogeya is, so now we can reconstruct from there and explain what the real source would be for the din. So if you think that psul Nogeya is rooted in chashash sheker, so that's something that's misfire, that's intuitive, that's logical. So you don't need an explicit makor in order to teach this din. But if you think that psul Nogeya is rooted in a psul of karov liatmo or a shein baal davar, so it might stem from a different gzeres hakasuv, either from lo yumsu avos habanim, from the general psul karov, or maybe from a mekayme hadavar hakasuv medaber for psul baal davar. So you'd it would fall under another rubric that already exists in psule edus. So that's the hakdama to this din of Nogei Be'idus, and now we can discuss a large number of different applications that are affected by this concept. So I have here 12 different ones. We'll see how many we can get through, and certainly there are a lot more. Okay. So the first nafkamina is the concept of tchilaso v'sofo bekashas. So let's say Reuven's Nogea Be'idus when he witnesses a certain event. So can he testify if he gets rid of his negius prior to his testimony? So this was a major machlokas between the Rishonim. So there's two camps, yes and no. And within each camp, there are different explanations as to why we would pass in the way that we do. So let's first take the camp that says yes, that Reuven would be able to testify in this case as long as he gets rid of his negius prior to his testimony. So Tosos and Shavuos and Bava Basra both explain that the reason why Reuven would be able to testify in this case is because the whole requirement of Tchilas Ovasova Bekashos doesn't apply to the Psul Nogeya. It only applies to other types of psulim, psule guf. Psul Karov, or Sha'ar Psulim, was the Lashon in Tosos and Shavuos. It's not going to apply to a Psul, Bachmas Mamon. The way that we interpreted Tosos was that what they're trying to say about Psul Nogeya is that it's rooted in Chashash Sheker. That's a very pragmatic Psul. That's not something that actually affects the inherent status of the Eid, Bein Bishas Ri'ya, Bein Bishas Hagada. That's just, it's a pragmatic psul that's kind of tacked on to the testimony of the Eid. And therefore, the whole concept of Tchilas Ovasofa Bekashos, which is linked to the inherent status of the Eid, won't apply. The Rimigash took a different approach. It seems like for the Rimigash, that Tchilas Ovasofa Bekashos, the requirement would apply to Nogeya Be'idus, but it just happens to be that once a Nogeya Be'idus gets rid of his Negius, then he actually satisfies the requirement of Tchilas Ovasofa Bekashos. Because Nogeya Be'idus is rooted in the Shein Baal Davar, so therefore when he witnessed the event, he didn't have a Shein Eid at all. So there was no tchilaso bepaslos. That's the way we explained in the Chir. For the Rimigash, where the whole requirement of tchilaso v'sofa bekashos is not a kiyum of tchilaso bekashos, but rather a kiyum of tchilaso shalo bepaslos. And because the Nogei Be'idus lacks a shame aid at the Zman Re'iya, so therefore he doesn't have any paslos. And when he then gets rid of his negius and starts to testify, so then kari le tchilaso v'sofa bekashos. Maybe that's the Lashon of the Ritva, but either way, the Rimigash would say that this din of Tchilas Ovasofa Bekashos is satisfied. So those are the two camps within the general camp that Reuven would be able to testify after getting rid of his negius. But then we have many Rishonim who disagree. So Tosos in Nida and also the Agos Mamonios, they disagree and say Tchilas Ovasofa Bekashos would apply to Psulei Edus. I should qualify because I don't know what they might say that Siluk would work. I don't know what they're asking about Siluk. No,
that would their whole point in the Gemara.
Meaning, I guess if you assume that Tchilas Bekashos is B'Shas Riyah. So let's say Tosos and Nida and Agos Mamanios would both say that there would be a problem of Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos for Nogea Be'idos. But their Lashonos, as we were Medayik from them in Shir, is that this isn't a specific, it's not related to how you view the Psal of Nogea Be'idos. It's not related to the Mechayiv of Nogea Be'idos. But rather, it's a general din that Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos applies across the board. No matter why your Psal Le'idos has nothing to do with what the character of your Psal is, no matter what, Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos is going to be a requirement. And therefore, Nogea Be'idos would also pose a problem for Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos. The Ritva in Kiddushin, Amem Gimel Amid Beis, also agrees that Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos would apply to Nogea Be'idos. This is the Ritva that Ariel, that Tzvi Ariel, mentioned just a couple minutes ago. So the Ritva there, as we said, is machalik between the status of Baal Davar and the status of Edim. And he implies that if you're a Baal Davar at the Shas Re'iyah, so then there's not going to be a Chisaron of Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos, just like the Rimigash. But he's not saying, like the Rimigash, that Nogea Be'idos is a Baal Davar. Nogea Be'idos is something else. And to Nogea Be'idos, Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos would be a problem. Sounds like from the Ritva in Kiddushin, based on his earlier piece, which we'll get to later, in how to solve the Gemara in Kiddushin of why Migo is not a problem. So I think what we were saying in Shir for the Ritva is that the whole psul of Nogea Be'idos is rooted in Chashash Sheker. But nonetheless, there would still be a problem of Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos. So this is against Tosos in Bava Basra and Shavuos, the way that we read Tosos. To clarify, Tosos in Bava Basra and Shavuos said that the psul of Nogea Be'idos is Chashash Sheker. Because it's a pragmatic psul, therefore there's no chisaron of Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos. The Ritva is saying lehefech. He's agreeing that the psul of Nogea Be'idos is Chashash Sheker, the way that we're reading him, but nonetheless, Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos is a problem. The machlokas between Tosos and the Ritva could be two different versions of the psul of Chashash Sheker. Does Chashash Sheker remain an agav psul, external to the aid, or does the Chashash Sheker actually create a psul guf? That could be the machlokas between Tosos and the Ritva. The third approach within the Rishonim who disallow Reuven to give Eidos after getting rid of his Negius was from the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah says that because Nogea Be'idos is a Karov Li'atzmo, therefore Siluk is not going to help. Just as the whole din of Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos is for Krovim, Bava Basa Kuf Chav Ches Amad Aleph, and a couple of other cases, but mainly for Krovim. So if Nogea is Pasol Eidos because of Karov Li'atzmo, so of course Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos is going to apply. Now, quoting Adam a lot today, but I wanted to quote this Ha'ara, it's a very good Ha'ara. So the Yad Ramah is, if you pay careful attention to the Lashon of the Yad Ramah, I think someone brought this up in Shir. Maybe, did you bring this? Oh, Zolti brought it up in Shir. So the Lashon of the Yad Ramah and Bava Basra, Mem Gimel, is that Nogea Be'idos is Pasol Mishum Karov Li'atzmo, and then Kol Shekin, that Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos is going to apply to Nogea Be'idos. So what's the Kol Shekin doing there? If Nogea Be'idos just is a regular Psul Karuv, then there's no Kol Shekin. That just is the din. The din of Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos applies to Kruvim. And if Nogea Be'idos is just a general, regular Psul Karuv, there's no deduction going on here. That just is the din itself. So what does the Yad Ramah mean that we're deducing from the fact that Tchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos applies to general Psul Karuv, that Kol Shekin, that it applies to Karuv Li'atzmo? So I think somewhat responded this way, that this is a good indication, or at least a good highlighting of the fact, that even if we're saying that Nogea Be'idos is a psul of Karov Li'atzmo, it's not exactly the same as a regular psul Karov, because it's what we were calling an artificial psul Karov. What do we mean by the term artificial psul Karov? So that's where we refer back to the different explanations as to why Nogea Be'idos is considered Karov Li'atzmo. The only reason why he's considered Karov Li'atzmo is because artificially he's considered a Baal Din in the case because of his ana. So it's not like a general in general psul karuv. It's a very natural psul karuv. It's based on a blood relation. Moshe to Aaron. Aaron's a litigant in the case. Moshe shares a blood relation to Aaron. Therefore there's a psul. Here the person's only considered a litigant in the case because of the hana that he's getting. So therefore, it's more artificial, and you could bring a kol shekein that it'll apply to karov li atzmo if it applies to general psulei karov. Yeah.
Seems like not pshat and kol the kol shekein is that kol shekein where he has hana as opposed like avoiding the gemara of avasra, wherever that gemara is about moshe aron like krovim that.
Do you have the line
from the Arama?
Yeah. They didn't have the Anrama in the Beast Spanish. They have it in the old Beast Spanish, but not in the new one. They have it? Where did that? Where is it?
10.3.
Where is that?
The second shelf, the third shelf. Then they had like Rimi Gash there, and like the David Amsach, and the two volumes of
Beast. Sula gave it is a nami ke hasla the kipsul karovin dami the kaimanum kareis latmo the kol shkein the hasam stomach amri nash dates chasvus over bukashos.
Right, so the kol shekein is that there, it's just a stam din.
I know that there's a struggle here, because the etzem karov latzmo is in a regular psula korva.
Right.
So we can flip it in, but kol shekein, when we're going to just expand, certainly would all apply.
Correct. Right. Right, right. That's a better way of formulating it. Yeah. Meaning that the Abraham is saying that that's a stam din, tchilas v'sof v'kashos is a stam din, and therefore, even though Nogei Be'edos is not a general psul karuv, because Tzchilas Ovos Ovos Bekashos is a stam din, so it's going to apply to psul karuv as well. What's the kol shekein then, though? Why is it a kol shekein?
If we're willing to shtup in the karuv to the examples given in the Brisa and Baba Basra, certainly if we just say that Brisa is, lav davka, and we expand it, then of course it'll be included.
The Brisa discusses psulei karov itself.
Right, so he's saying, I have difficulty with the fact that this is really psulei karov. So I can really tell you, it'll fit, it's psulei karov, fine, it's good enough, so it tells itself if Bekasha supplies, it's a problem. Kol shekein, once I just ignore the fact that the examples in the Brisa and say it's lav davka.
Okay.
So of course it'll be included.
Okay, good. Okay, if that discussion wasn't clear, so then we'll discuss it a little bit more after she. Okay. Huh? So that's why Adam's trying to say that that first the Anurama is saying that really it's like psul karov and therefore would be included in the Brisa. And then kol shekein, you'll say that tchilas ovos ovos bekashos applies to this artificial psul karov if the Brisa is just stam. Meaning if tchilas ovos ovos bekashos is just a stam din, that applies across the board. Meaning that you have two avenues to apply tchilas ovos ovos bekashos to nogei be'edos. One is to say that nogei be'edos is actually like psul karov, right? And number two is to say that no, really the brisa just applies across the board. But then how do you? But then once he's saying that kol shekein, then you don't really know that it's still.
That was my question.
No, okay. Wait, ask your question fully.
Once he's saying the kol shekein,
yeah.
Then you don't really then on the second side, meaning the second avenue, that because the brisa is just a stam brisa that applies across the board, then you have no evidence that okay, the edus is really psul karov. Maybe it's chashash shekein. Okay, it's a little bit difficult. Okay. All right, so let's move on. Okay, vaite. All right, so that was the discussion of tchilas ovos ovos bekashos. Edus shebala mitzasa bala kula. I feel like this nafkamina comes up in every sugya that we do. Okay. So we have a classic case where Reuven's nogei be'edus, and then he joins two other edim as part of a kat. So is he going to be mevatel the entire kat, or are the other two edim going to stand on their own? So this is a machlokas between the Rishonim and the Achronim. The Mishnah Melech in Edos Hei Gimel discusses it. He brings down two deos. The Rivash says that Edos Shabbala Mitzah Sabbat Lakula will not apply to nogei be'edus, meaning Reuven won't be mevatel the rest of the kat. The Mishnah Melech explains that based on the Shem Baal Davar. That because nogei be'edus has a shame baal davar, therefore he doesn't have any shame eid, just like the Rimi Gash. It's mufka from the parsha of Edus. This is what we want to say for the tumim according to within psul isha, psul nashim. So too here, nogei be'edus doesn't have a shame eid, therefore he's not going to be mevatel the rest of the kat. The Rush and the Bala Trumos both say that it would apply. Just as a side comment on the Rush, if you look at the Rush inside, it's not clear that the Rush is discussing a case of nogei be'edus. Meaning, he's discussing a case of bali davar. But it's not clear that he's saying that that nogei be'edus is a psul bali davar, but fine. Okay. The Rush says that it would apply. But yeah, maybe. Okay. Yeah. So again, if you say that it does apply, so of course, if you're going to say that Nogebe Eidos is rooted in Sol Karovs, that could definitely be an explanation as to why Eidos Shabala Mitzvah Sabala Kula would apply, because whenever we have Sol Karov, it would apply. And if you think it's Mishum Chashash Sheker, so we send in Shir Yash Ladun. Does it infect the rest of the cat, or does he just stand on his own? Third Nafkamino Nogele Mafreya. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Chav Gimel Amid Bees. So let's say that what's the Gemara there? Gamishbacha. Right, Tzarech Levara, Ino Tzarech Levara. Right? Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Yeah? So let's say the case is as such that when the first cat of Edom testifies, so they're not nogebe Eidos, but because there's a chance of another cat coming, or because one of the Balidinim said that he was going to bring another cat, but then when the second cat comes, so it turns out that they're possibly Eidos, and then retroactively the first cat was really nogebe Eidos because for whatever reason. Sorry?
So you want to apostle the Edom, so it turns out that...
Meaning, right, so me part of the first cat is the Baal Dover, right? Meaning that he, it's Huva Acher.
Because you want to apostle the you're...
In against you.
Yeah.
You're trying to apostle a need. I mean, you're a Baal Dover, and you're joining together with someone else who's trying to apostle the Ed. Yeah. Okay. So would we have a problem of Nogebe Eidos in this case or not? So it's two Deos in Rashi. So if we said that Nogebe Eidos was rooted in Chashash Sheker, so you can't apply Nogebe Eidos to Mafreya, because at the time of the Eidos, there was no Chashash Sheker. So you can't say that later on, now, you know, Igloi Milson Lamafreya, that there was a Chashash Sheker. It's totally pragmatic. It's going to depend on the moment itself. Whereas if Psol Nogea is rooted in a Psol Karov Liatzmos, that's a more formal Psol that could be, could apply even the Mafreya. Okay. Next, so one of our opening questions was what nogea really means. What is the definition of a nogea be'idos? What does it mean to have negius? So the Rambam's definition of negius is any hana'a afilu b'derech echoka v'nifla'a. And that sounds like it could be any type of hana'a, not necessarily a hana'as mamut. But the Maharit in Mempeh, and this is also mashma from the Rama in the sugya of Gizbar, in Tuvas hana'a mamon olav mamon, so they indicate that the Hana'a has to be specifically a negius of mamon. So what would be the machlokas of whether the Hana'a that would passel an aid as nogea be'idus, whether that Hana'a is any Hana'a or specifically a Hana'as mamon? So if we're talking about Chashash Sheker, so it makes a lot of sense to apply it even past Hana'as mamon. As long as this is something that would motivate a person to lie, so then we should apply the concern of Chashash Sheker. But if we're talking about a more formal psul, so we might say that the hana'a that defines someone as a Baal Davar has to be a more concrete hana'a that takes the form of mamu. I want to mention here, we didn't say this in Shir, but Rebbe kind of alluded to it, the Ktsos in Lama Zayin Dalet, this is also in the Sugya of Gizbar, distinguishes between two different types of Nogebe Eidos. The Ktsos is of the opinion that you could have multiple types of Nogebe Eidos. One type, which is the Nogebe Eidos Min HaTorah, according to the Ktsos, is a Baal Davar. Basically, what the Ktsos calls Karov Liatmo, he conflates those two terms. Midir Abanon, we also have a Nogebe Eidos that's rooted in Chashash Sheker. So the Ktsos says that for, he actually kind of says the opposite. For the Baal Davar himself, so any Negius is going to suffice in order to passel him from giving testimony. But for a Karov, meaning if you have a Karov to a Nogea. If you have a Karov to a Nogea. And the Nogea is not a Nogea al Tanoas Mamun, but rather al just a Stam Hana'a, then the Karov will be Kasher. The Karov will only be Pasul if he's a Karov to someone who has Negius Mamun. And the reason why is because when someone has Negius Mamun, so then that person is like Mamish Abal Dafar. And we're going to say that the karov is possible idus, the karov of that person, because he's mamash like a bal dover. But if the person just has a stam negius, so then I think what the Ketos is saying is that would just be a chashash sheker, and the karov to someone who has a chashash sheker doesn't also have a chashash sheker. So the karov would be kasher lahayit in that case. That's how the Ketos explains the discussion of the nirtzach and the goal hadam. The goal adam gets a hana that's not a hana as mamon. So why should we say that the goal adam is not allowed to testify, but the kruvim of the goal adam are allowed to testify? So that's exactly the yisod of the ktos. In this case, the goal adam has a hana that's not a hana as mamon. So that suffices to passel him, right? To say that he's not allowed to testify about his own case. But for the kruvim of someone who doesn't have a hana as mamon, they would be allowed to testify.
Means that he thinks that Nogea has two psulim.
There's two different types of psulim in Nogea.
Across the board?
Yeah. 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 Okay. Okay, Nogea Lechova. So we have a machlokas in the Rishonim and the Achronim also. What about if Reuven is related to this case, but he stands to lose from the case, not to gain from the case? So would he be disqualified from Edus? So the Shach quotes the Rosh in the Shut, and the Rosh says that he would be disqualified, whereas the Shach disagrees. The Shach disagrees because according to the Shach, the whole Psov Nogea is rooted in a Chashash Sheker. No one's going to lie to their dismay. But according to the Rosh, so, or according to Rishonim, who think that this is a psul karov or a psul baldavar, so as long as you don't need hana in order to generate the psul karov or psul baldavar, so then you'll be pasul even lechova. Midvar sheker tirchak. So we mentioned this when we had Chazarish here and Hitztarfos Leid Rasha, a huge sugya on the Bechina. So who didn't take the Bechina here?
No, I remember.
Okay. So, Midrash Sheker Tirchak. So let's say someone knows about himself that he's no Gebe Eidos, but he knows that his testimony is true. Is he allowed to testify or not? So it's Machlokas in the Achronim quoted in the Pesach Tshuva. The Chavos Yari says that he's allowed to testify because the whole Psul of Nogea is rooted in Chashash Sheker. Here, you know that you're not lying, so you're allowed to testify. The Nesivos quoted in the Pesach Tshuva says that he's not allowed to testify. That could be because no Gebe Eidos is rooted in some other Psul, Karov Liatzmo, or a Baal Davar. That's not just because you know that your testimony is true, that's not going to allow you to testify if you're actually possibly Eidos beguf. What about Migo benogea beidos? So the Gemara Kiddushin Mem Gimel Mebeis implies that when Eidim have a Migo, I mean when they can say Paranu Lamalve, because they could have said Ahadrinu Lelove, so therefore they're not considered Nogin beidos. Why is that the case? So we could have two different formulations of this. The Ramban and Bava Basra explains that really these witnesses are Nogin beidusan, but because they have a Migo, the Migo can be machshir then. Meaning, in general, a Migo can never be machshir Edim. If Edim are psulim, and a Migo can't be machshir the Edim. However, when it comes to Nogea be'edus, Migo can be machshir, it can validate the Edim. Why is that the case? Because psul Nogea is rooted in an external pragmatic chashash sheker. So there's nothing inherently wrong with this Ed, it's just a chashash sheker. As long as you can get rid of that thing that's causing an ikuv in the Edus through a Migo, then that would be sufficient. Rashi and the Ritva take a different approach. They say that the Migo is not actually being machshir the Nogea, but rather because there's a Migo, therefore he's not Nogea to begin with. There just is no Negias in this case because the Metzias is that there's a Migo. If there's a Migo, then there's no Nogea. Whereas for the Ramban, there was Nogea, but the Migo is machshir it. It's kind of a more of a dechuya, quote unquote. In this case, for Rashi and the Ritva, it's a complete hutra. When you have a Migo, then there's just no Negia there's no Negia whatsoever. So all of the Rishonim who think that Nogea Be'edos is a psul and Baal Davar, Karav Liatzmo, are going to have to read the Gemara that way. What about Nogea and Eide Kiddushin? So Rebbe related this makor to Eide Kiyum. When I read the Mordechai inside, it didn't seem to me like the Mordechai was talking about Eide Kiyum. The Mordechai says that the case in the Mordechai where he quotes the Rashbat, not sure who that is, but the Mordechai discusses a case where we have two Eidim who are Eide Kiyum on a Kiddushin, they witness a Kiddushin, and then they come to court later with the supposed bride, and the Kala says, no, I was never Mikudashas, but the Eidim say, yes, you were Mikudashas. So here, the Edim are supposedly Nogin Be'edus because they would have to take a Shvua in order to meaning they wouldn't be chayiv to give the value of the ring to the Mikadesh, but they would have to take a Shvua in order to get out of any chiyuv. Or they would at least have to take a Shvua in order to appease the Mekadesh. So that makes them Nogei Be'edus, because they're going to want to testify that this Kiddushin actually happened, so that way they wouldn't have to take a Shvua. So in this case, the status of Nogei Be'edus doesn't set in at the time of Kiddushin. The Edei Kiyum were totally kosher. They're totally kosher b'sha'as Kiddushin. The problem of Nogei Be'edus happens later in time when the Edim who were Edei Kiyum are now functioning as Edei Birur. Right? They're now testifying, they're reporting about a certain fact that happened in the past. That's when the Negius sets in. So this doesn't really have to do with Edei Kiyum, the Fiani is Daiti. But the Mordechai says that in this case we would have Kiddushei Safik. Nonetheless, it's a good nafkamina. Because why would we have Kiddushei Safik in this case, where the Edim say the Kiddushin happened, but the Kala says no, the Kiddushin didn't happen, and the Edim, when they say that the Kiddushin happened, are Nogei Be'edus? Why would we have a Kiddushei Safik? Why wouldn't we just say that it's not a Kiddushin at all, because they were Nogei Be'edus, their Edus should be possible Gamrei? Why would we have a Safik? Because we're looking at Nogei Be'edus as a Chasha Sheker. If Nogei Be'edus is a Chasha Sheker, so then there's a possibility that the Edus is true. There's also a possibility that it's false. So therefore, we don't usually accept the Edus. But probably what the Mordechai is getting at is because of the Chumrah of Gittin V'Kiddushin, the Chumrah of Ishus, we have to actually take into account our concern that this Edus might be true. It's only a Chashah Sheker. It's not Vadai Sheker. It's a Chashah Sheker. So therefore, we're going to say that it's Kiddushei Safik. If Nogei Be'edus is a Psol Karov or Baal Davar, so then you have no room to say that there's Kiddushei Safik here. Because their reporting that the Kiddushin happened is just not accepted at all. There's no Kabbalah Seidus whatsoever. Next, Palgina Dibura Nogei Be'edus. We mentioned this quickly yesterday in the Tosos Rit. The Tosos Rit is Mechalik between Nogei Be'edus and Karov. For Psul Karov, we say Palgina Dibura, whereas for Nogei Be'edus, we don't say Palgina Dibura. Why do we not say Palgina Dibura for Nogei Be'edus? Again, because the Tosos Rit, the Shitaso, views Nogei Be'edus as a problem of Chasha Sheker. Once the Eid is, it has a Chasha Sheker kind of overriding his Edus, so then that Chasha Sheker infects his entire testimony. So we can't split half of his testimony from the other half, because he had a chashah sheker for the entire thing. Next, two nafkaminas from the Or Zeruah, Sanhedrin Simin Tes. Very interesting Or Zeruah. You should take a look at it inside if you have a chance. The Or Zeruah has the following case. Let's say Reuven is accustomed to saying about Shimon that Shimon was Pasul Eidos. Let's say Shimon was a Gazlan. So Reuven goes around every day writing up in the commentator that Shimon is a Gazlan. So, then it happens to be 2 months later that Reuven shows up to court and he testifies, Shimon is a Gazlan. So, and in that case, Reuven was Nogei Be'edus. Right? So should we say that, we should accept Reuven's testimony because he's already accustomed to saying that Shimon was a Gazlan, and this whole time, for the past 2 months when he's been publishing articles, so he wasn't Nogei Be'edus at that time, so why shouldn't we believe him now that he's saying the same thing that he's been saying in the past? So again, that only makes sense. So Nor Zeruah is mistapik about this. That only makes sense if you're viewing Nogei Be'edus as a chasha sheker. I mean, we're not going to be choshesh this guy for sheker because we see in the past that he actually really holds this statement to be true. But if Nogei Be'edus is unless you want to say he's just not Nogei at all, maybe he's just not Nogei at all because. But no, never mind. In this case, there's some objective negius. So if Nogei Be'edus is rooted in a Baal Dover of Karav Liatzmo, so then there's no room for his past articles, you know, or statements to affect his Edus now.
Not a great example, but is there a big article
in the commentary? You have to. I guess it depends whether Jerome's writing them or not. Okay. So, what about the Or Zeruah has a second suffix? What about for Shar Eduyos? Meaning as follows. Let's say again, Reuven comes to court, he's Nogei Be'edus, and he testifies that Shimon is a Gazlan. He's Nogei Be'edus about that testimony. So, is Shimon Pasal Eidos as a Gazlan in future Eduyos? And he's only Kosher Eidos in this case because Reuven was Nogea? Or do we say that no? Shimon's not Pasal in any of the cases because Reuven was Pasal in this case. So that seems to turn on whether really fundamentally there's a Kabbalas Eidos of the Eidos of Enogea, but it's just that we can't really paskin based off of it, or there's no Kabbalah's Eidos whatsoever. So if you think that Nogea be'Eidos is rooted in Chashash Sheker, maybe you would say that fundamentally the Eidos is Mekubeles, meaning the Bezdin heard the Eidos, it's good Eidos. It just happens to be that we can't function based off of this Eidos because, you know, it might be false. But at the same time, and therefore for future cases, we should take this Eidos into account. It should hold true. But if Psul Nogea is rooted in Psul Karov or Baal Davar, so there you're going to have the Lashon of the Rimigash. You're not Mekabel Eidos at all. There was no Eidos. So how can you say that based on this Eidos, Shimon's going to remain Psul Eidos as a Gazan in future cases? So how would you explain the Rezarua?
Clearly, if it's a
Chashash
Sheker, then we don't believe him when he's testifying. That's the whole point.
But I'm saying, does that say that there's no Kabbalah? In order to say that Shimon is possible Eidos in future cases, that's a tzad of the Ozardua. So you have to explain that,
yeah,
right?
I think that's totally incompatible with Chashash
Sheker. So how is it compatible with anything else? You have to have an Eidos in order to say that he's...
I was just saying the Ozardua is wrong.
No?
I'm saying it's more compatible with the formal psulim than it is with the psulim nemanus. Well, because the psulim nemanus, the whole point is that we assume he's testifying for his own benefit. There's no like validity at all to what he's saying. He's just testifying because he'll do anything he can to win the case. So we don't believe what he says. But the formal psulim, the whole point is that, yeah, he is telling the truth, but we're not allowed to use this testimony because it benefits him.
So you could say that it registers in future cases, even though he's not actually testifying.
You could say that psulim nemanus only applies at the time
that happens. Huh? What? You can have a mitzvah downstairs. You can go. Yeah. What'd you say?
You could say it's like saying it's a mafreya, but like it's something that happens. Like the psul karov only applies at the time, and then once it's not relevant anymore, it's just time.
That's what Isaac's saying. But it's a chiddush, though, to say that that in future cases where this guy didn't come to court at all, he wasn't made. So the eidos that he expressed in a previous case is then going to register in a future case when he's not made. Huh? Like you're saying, like Rebbe's idea of like filing. But that's also what I'm saying. So it sounds like for sure for the Rimigash, there's no Kabbalah's eidos. So you want to say it fits very nicely with Psul Karov in specific, not Baal Davar. Okay, fine. So we'll skip the last Nafimina. Okay, go down to Mincha. What? Because if we're not going to have a minion, then... Okay, fine. So maybe we'll say like Isaac, that's what Psul Karov is. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Artificial Psul Karov.